Donovan Bennett, author at Sportsnet.ca, co-host of The Waggle. That's the CFL.ca. He joins me now to talk a little Grey Cup, to talk some CFL. Donovan, how are you today?
Great, great. Beautiful city of Calgary. Excited for the Grey Cup, and it's not snowing, so I have no complaint.
Yeah, so far it's not.
Yes, true enough. In Calgary, you never know. It could be sunny in the morning and a blizzard at night, so who knows?
What's the vibe like there this week?
It's pretty cool. I mean, so it's funny because everyone in Calgary feels weird that they're not in the game, right? 5 of the last 7 years, they've been in the game. They just expected to be in the game. So this is almost like a fresh start for them to host everyone with no expectation and no nervousness around the game. But it's been fun. The Stampeders fan base travels to the Grey Cup regardless of whether or not they're going to be in the game. So they've shown out now that it's in their city, and they've done things like pancake breakfast every year at the Grey Cup. So you can't ask for a better city to host. So far, so good.
Brandon Banks wins the league's Most Outstanding Player Award, as he should have last night. He was the most outstanding player in this league this season. What does it say about the CFL that it's not that uncommon to see a player outside a quarterback win the league's Most Outstanding Player, whereas our neighbors to the south, we always see that award go to a quarterback. It's so rare that we don't.
Yeah, I mean, the sport, no matter what border you're talking about, is so quarterback-driven. The conversations and the winning percentage is really, when you have an elite one, you have a chance to win, and when you don't, you don't. But this league has a special place for diminutive players, right? Whether it's Chad Owens or Pinball Clemens or Brandon Banks, who has been honored as a special teams player of the year and now has been honored as, you know, the best receiver. It's one of the things about the CFL that I like, that you could, on any given Saturday or Sunday as a fan, look on the field and see someone who, if you saw them on the street, looks somewhat like you. And Brandon Banks literally is that guy. The Tiger Cats is a franchise. They believe they're underdogs. There is no greater underdog in the CFL than Brandon Banks. So that part of it I really enjoy. It is ironic, though, that, you know, part of the reason why he's the MOP candidate out of the East is because there's an injury at the quarterback position in Hamilton. Jeremiah Masoli was a guy who was on pace to be in that conversation. He gets hurt. And then Dane Evans has a great year to finish. So if you just took the quarterback numbers combined in Hamilton, I think the candidate may have been whoever was throwing to Brandon Banks. So if Dane Evans has a sophomore season next year, assuming he's still the starter, as the one he had this year, then Banks may have some competition for that award in his own dressing room.
Well, it's not just in Hamilton that that was a problem. Donovan Bennett, he's on the ground in Calgary. He'll be at the Grey Cup. He joins me here on the Scott Rentoul Show. Every single team had an injury at quarterback this year. Now, the bad news is that you don't see all of the stars. The good news is we've seen the emergence of some young pivots. Do you see enough in some of those young guys that took over the helms of their respective franchises that perhaps we're going to start ushering in this new era of quarterbacks?
Well, it's a great point. And let's go back to this time last year. One of the dominant conversations was free agency and the fact that three premier QBs were going to be on the market, and wherever they landed would change the discussion for the league for the next 5 years or so. Trevor Harris goes to Edmonton, Bo Levi Mitchell stays in Calgary, and then obviously, you know, Mike Rowley, it was the big fish that landed in BC. All of those guys got hurt. None of those teams are here playing in the Grey Cup. So it just shows that in this era, you can't just win with a great quarterback. You need a great quarterback room. You need great depth, and no one's been able to do that better than Hamilton. Let's look at them over the last couple years. Zach Collaros, who's in this game, was in Hamilton at one point in time. They moved on to Jeremiah Masoli, who was their starter. They got through the Johnny Manziel era, if you were willing to call it that. They traded Vern Adams Jr., and they kept Dane Evans because they really, really liked him. Now he's led them to a Grey Cup. The ability to identify quarterback talent and develop it, not just one, but multiple guys, is the biggest thing in terms of who's winning in this league and who isn't. And so I do feel good that Arbuckle is good and Evans is good. And, you know, Streveler, you know, once he has some more time, looks like he'll be pretty good. The next wave of QBs coming up in this league are pretty exciting.
What do you make of the quarterback situation in Winnipeg, not only as it pertains to this game, Donovan, but as it pertains to what they do at that position next year?
This is honestly going to be one of the most fascinating storylines in last season. People are already talking about it here at Grey Cup Week. You got three QBs, all of which believe that they are starters who could lead a team, all of which who have had injury issues, all of which who are going to be free agents. So Winnipeg, who's got to the game, who could win the game, have a massive decision. If it were me making the decision, I meet with Zach Claros, I meet with Chris Streveler, and I say, I'm willing to give you guys, a low-level deal, let's say, somewhere in the low six figures, and then something that is very incentive-laden based on starts, based on games played, and based on wins, quite frankly. And so if you reach that level and are on the field long enough, you'll make a decent amount of coin. But between the two of you, we need some insurance and some protection. Part of the issue is that it's going to be musical chairs in terms of how many other teams are out there that are looking for a quarterback. Jeremiah Masoli will have a decision to make when his free agency comes up, but he's probably not going to be ready to play until August. Ottawa needs to figure out their quarterback situation. Toronto. But other than that, the rest of the league is pretty settled at the quarterback position. So I think the scarcity of the supply versus the demand will impact the deals that they get. But Winnipeg does have a very, very fascinating conundrum moving forward in this offseason at the quarterback position.
Yeah, they got a fascinating conundrum with their head coach as well. This guy might end the longest drought in CFL if Winnipeg gets over this weekend. And Mike O'Shea might not be coaching there next year. Is he the big piece in the musical chairs? We've already got three coaching vacancies. We might have another one in Edmonton. Who knows about Winnipeg? Does Mike O'Shea control this? Is it Rick Campbell? How do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, well, one, it's nice to have a little bit of leverage. If we were talking about Mike O'Shea and his future coaching, 6 weeks ago, we may be wondering if he would be somewhere else other than Winnipeg, not of his choosing. Now he has some leverage, especially because there could be, and there isn't now, and there's an embargo on this type of news during Grey Cup week, so people focus on the game, but there could be an opening in Toronto. And who is the general manager in Toronto? Mike Pinball Clemens. Who is one of his best football friends? Mike O'Shea. And so you got to feel that Pinball Clemens, looking at the situation just down the highway in Hamilton with a guy who left the Argos, is now running and leading the Tiger Cats, a guy that he understands well, he knows well, in Orlando Steinhauer. He sees a former player in Montreal, in Kari Jones, who he shares an agent with, leading the Alouettes. He's thinking, I need to have a similar player-first, friendly approach in my organization. So I think O'Shea has some leverage where, okay, I'm going to certainly have offers. And so Winnipeg, you need to meet me in terms of not just the amount of money that I'd like to make, but what can I do with my staff? What type of control do I have? So obviously his leverage goes up if he wins the game on Sunday, but he's in a better place now than he was a couple weeks ago.
Grey Cup goes Sunday in Calgary. Donovan Bennett will be there. He's here right now on the Scott Rintoul Show. What's the biggest issue facing this league right now?
I think it's the three markets, the three major cities that have real competition in terms of not just sporting dollars, and I'm talking about Montreal, Toronto, and BC, and Vancouver specifically as those markets. They're also markets with MLS teams, so you have other sports leagues that are around the same size and can attract a similar fan base. So you have competition at that level as well, not to mention, obviously, competition with the National Hockey League. But you also, in those markets, you have competition just in terms of your entertainment dollar and the disposable income that millennials have in terms of, great theater and restaurants and entertainment. Not to say that that's not the case in other markets, but it really is the case in the international cities, Montreal, BC, and Toronto. And so getting those markets right, getting those markets where, let's be honest, the Fortune 500 companies are stationed in our country, where the advertisers and the sales dollars are in our country, not even just getting fans in seats because this is a gate-driven league, but changing the perception of the league for many people, I think, is really, really important. So that is the million-dollar question that the last couple commissioners have tried to solve and haven't been able to. Part of Ambrosi's plan is CFL 2.0 and making the game more global. Well, domestically, his big challenge is in the three global cities that he has markets in.
Now to the game this weekend. Hamilton's the favorite, should be so, won 16 of 19 games this year, and they are solid in every single aspect of their football team. What is the most likely path to victory for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers?
Oof, great question. I think take the air out of football. And what I mean when I say that is run it some more. Run it effectively to give Zach Kolaros some manageable second downs in terms of, you know, I could keep it myself and run. I could, you know, make a short pass, or, you know, if you're in zone, if you're in man coverage, I could take a shot to Darvin Adams over the top and make a splash play that changes, the field position. I just think they need to keep Dane Evans and Brandon Banks and Braylon Addison off of the field. And a Tiger Cats defense that is very good. I mean, it's the best in the league. But when you lose Jamal Westerman, when you lose Donnie Namba, when you lose Larry Dean, you've lost some impact players. And so they're a bit smaller defensively. So I think they just need to wear on them with that big offensive line. And Andrew Harris, the best pound-for-pound running back in the league, and take the air out of football and keep the game close, knowing that you've got great special teams, you've got a great kicker. And the closer the game is, as we move into the fourth quarter and late in the game, the pressure then switches from, you know, the team that's the underdog to the team that is expected to win and also expected to win with style points. And if we look at Hamilton, as well as they've played and as good as they've been, they haven't had to win a lot of close games. Winnipeg has. And so playing in the West, that's just part of the rules of engagement for Winnipeg to just get here, never mind. So I think that's the recipe of success for the Bombers, and something that they've proven they can do because they've done it two straight times on the road to get here.
The one thing the Bombers have over the Ticats at the quarterback position is experience on this kind of stage. How much does Zach Kolaros' experience here matter?
It's a huge benefit for Winnipeg because Zach Kolaros has been here in multiple fashions. He's been here as a backup. He's been here as a starter. He's been here and won. He's been here and lost. So he understands what this game means. And it's not even the game, because it's still going to be three downs. The field is going to be the same length. It's everything around the game. How do you manage getting tickets for your family? How do you manage doing all of the media requests? How do you manage going through and answering the same question time and time again? How do you manage being away from your building for more than a week? Doing all of that, but also doing the same prep. Dane Evans talked about when he became the starter, just keeping every week the exact same and going through the same routine. That's impossible, Grey Cup week. Like you can't appreciate how difficult this week is to manage as a player. Dane Evans basically compared this to a bowl game when he was at Tulsa, and you know the Grey Cup week experience being a bowl game on steroids. But you have so many more things pulling at you now as a professional. And I think that's the greatest thing that Zach can offer. And in a way, Zach, like the Blue Bombers, he goes out on Sunday and he's playing with house money. Regardless of what happens on Sunday, and people who have been waiting 29 years for a breakup don't want to hear this, but this year is going to be a success for Winnipeg. This year is going to be a success for Zach Kolaros. So they can just play free and happy. Again, the later that game goes and the closer it is, the guys on the Hamilton sideline start to think about the recent times they've gotten to this game and haven't been able to get it done. So I do think that Winnipeg has been loose this week, focused, but understanding that they've been here before, led by a guy who has been in the game and knows what it means.
Last question. You've got two defensive head coaches. You've got two outstanding defenses with the guys who were nominated for Defensive Player of the Year in this league. Who is the defender most likely to wreck this game?
Whew, that's a great question. I mean, I might not want to say Willie Jefferson or Simone Lawrence. I might say Ja'Gara Davis. Ja'Gara Davis has been in the league for 4 years, and he's been to the Grey Cup and won it every year. And he's a guy who doesn't stay blocked. Even when you think he's blocked, he finds a way to get to the quarterback, whether it's against the run or it's against the pass. Even at odd times, they'll drop him in zone looks, and he'll find zone landmarks when they do zone blitzes. He is the guy who, in meetings, you circle. He's on the top of the ready sheet that is given to every team, and even though everyone is trying to stop him, he goes out and he's amongst the league leaders in sacks every year. Dalvin Bro might be another guy, only because he could wreck the game and we won't hear his name called, because you put him on a receiver and you don't hear from that receiver ever. And so if that is Adams, that will be a big loss for Winnipeg, or if that is Dembski in the slot. But I think Jagaire Davis is a guy who's proven, whether it was with Calgary before or now with Hamilton, he's just a winner, and I could see him making a couple winning plays on Sunday to change the game.
It's all about winning this big one. Hey, Donovan, great stuff. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the festivities more than that in Calgary over the next couple of nights. Thank you very much for your time.
Will do. Thanks for having me.
Sportsnet 650.